You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
I want to explain what the next 3 months is going to look like. So normally we've got a series or we've got a book that we've gone through. What do the next 3 months actually look like? And I'm calling it Go. It says, doesn't it, go into all the world and preach that good news, making disciples and baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ. And that first bit of that two-letter word, it's so powerful, isn't it? Go. I want you to go. And actually, this is what this next 3 months is about. It's about being church on mission. I mentioned it before, some of the messages just before the summer. But just say, I really had that sense that God was saying we've got a little bit of a spiritual muscle as far as church is concerned now. We've seen God's power at work here. We've seen people get saved. We've seen people get well. And actually, that's not just for us to go, well, actually, can I be more well? Can I be more saved? You go where you like with that one. But is it all about us? Or is it about us saying, well, okay, I've got this little bit of confidence. I've got this treasure within me. I recognize that. I see the power at work. Now it's time to go. And I really felt that's what God is saying. I want you to go. So I sat down and looked at this next quarter. Funnily enough, I haven't got one of those sheets. Can I nick one of those sheets from somebody? Do you want to grab you can grab another one from the back. And what you will see basically on here, thank you, is you'll see the 3 months. So if you go to the one on the back, LWC Mission Overview 2018, it's not magnetic because you can't put it on your fridge. You might have to use a fridge magnet to put it on there. I couldn't get magnetic ones. But this is the overview. So you can see we've got the intro to mission, prayer and fasting. What's that all going to be about? You'll find out more later. And you'll see where September goes and what the thoughts are through this. And I'll pick this up a little bit more in a minute. You'll see the next road down. We've got what's happening in October. And then there's a repeated pattern that's going to take place again in November. And this is to give you an overview. I want everybody today to be at the start of this journey to understand exactly where we're going to be going with everything. And if you've got questions, that's absolutely great. And if as we go through this morning, you say, I'm terrified, that's fine. The rest of us are too. And that's what it's like when we serve the King of Kings sometimes, because we have our eyes fixed upon him. If I thought about myself and how I'm going to do this, it's not going to work out too good. So what I've got here, just as a brief overview, you flick back to the other side and say, well, what did he say this morning? This is what the aim of the next 3 months at Limbrookwood is going to be about. I see us being as a church on mission. Now, obviously, we should be a church on mission all the time, or individuals on mission in a sense. We are all disciples, that royal priesthood. However, just to say, just to focus us for a period of time, we're a church on mission. And if you had said to me, well, what does it all look like in detail? I've just confessed to you, we don't know the details yet. But what we've got, which is on the opposite side, is the big plan. That's the kind of general direction that we're going to be heading in. But I believe, as I've put here, God has given us this call to be an outward-facing church. When I first came, it was the sense. We did this, like, was it a Venn diagram thing, wasn't it? We tried to work out what do we do, what do we want to do, what's inward-facing, what's outward-facing, and what do we want to be. And that really stuck in my mind that the church says we want to be an outward-facing church. You know, we want to be a church on mission. We want to go. We want to reach the community. And I believe this next 3 months is our time. If it fails miserably, so what? We tried. And actually, if one person comes to faith over all of this, it's wonderful. My prayer is that many people are going to have the opportunity to hear the good news. We want to go and share who we are, what we believe, what we do, and all those things to Tile Hill. You can have a quick read through this. I'm not going to read this out to you entirely here this morning. But there's some things there, just the practical. What is it that we're actually going to be doing? Well, the idea is we're going to have this booklet, which we will get out hopefully in time for people to see at the church meeting. But we'll get some drafts of that. We need some words writing still for it. So there might be a few people picked on. Maybe you'd like to write something about this area, about this thing which goes in this booklet. So that's going to be the practical. Prayer, I'm going to pick this up in a minute, so I'm just going to go through the bullet points here at the moment. Prayer, what does prayer actually look like and how seriously we're going to take prayer? What the preparation is about, what the support is about, and you'll see something mentioned there about life groups and home groups, and then teams. I need some help. I'm going to be asking at the end, who wants to be part of this team? Can't go home until we've actually got a team picked. Is that all right? Makes my life easier. So you hold on to those, because those are yours. You can take them back, and I want you to read them. I want you to pray about them. I want you to think about this and say, God, what are you saying about this? Because we haven't got all the detail. We are the church, and together we want to hear from God. So part of this, again, is saying, right, we're putting this out there. You can see it's not a full prescription. You come back and you tell me what God is saying, or you tell the oversight. We tell each other and we encourage each other and we spur one another on. So that's a really brief overview, but it does give you something to take away, because otherwise I can prattle on and you can say, well, that was all right, but I can't remember half of what he said. And if you're anything like me, it's gone in one ear and out the other before I know it. So put that somewhere where you don't forget it. I mean, if you can stick it on the fridge. I've just actually removed one off the fridge now. It was a prayer thing for Kids Club. They've actually made it magnetic. And it says, whenever you open the fridge and take something out, think of one of these things and pray for it as you're doozing this thing out the fridge. And I was like, oh, that's quite clever. Well, this will have to be replaced with that now, because I really want us to be praying about these things. Now, again, practicalities. Let me just go back to aims and where we're heading. The idea is, in its rawest form, is that we've been given some cash to put a booklet together. I would like those booklets, or the vision I felt God gave me, was those booklets get put into every house up here in Tile Hill. Now, obviously, we've got Tile Hill North, we've got Tile Hill South, we've also got Eastern Green. And it's like, well, what do we define as Tile Hill? Actually, is that a circle that goes out from church? And that includes a bit of Eastern Green as well. We need to kind of work that one out. But the idea is that we will go out. And the thing I really felt God say to us is he wants us to knock doors. He wants us to speak to people. So it's not just a case of actually saying, putting a booklet through a door. Because if you're anything like me, I go out in the morning, there's four in there, and I kind of go, kitchen side, recycling bin. It's far quicker to put them in a recycling bin. So unless I think there is something attached to this, yes, it might actually appear in somebody's door, and it might be towards the end of this we say, we've done such a great job, but we still haven't got these in all the houses. We are just going to go through and push them through letterboxes towards the end. That may be how that happens. But initially, I think what part of the journey is that we go out and do stuff together. So what do we do as far as church is concerned? What are we actually going to tell people about? The three-legged stool thing that I mentioned before in one of the messages, I don't know if you can remember what that was, but there was three legs to this stool, and we need all three. There's lots of these that you've probably heard over the years, but I really like this one. As church, we do lots of good things. There are lots of great things that we've done over the time. We do coffee mornings, we've done community projects, we've got other things going on. I call that social action. Okay, social action. We need to be doing social action. But what we mustn't miss out on, and you can see it up here on the screen, we mustn't miss out on simple gospel. And simple gospel is something that must be given as part of, because if we can do an activity, but we don't want to be loving people to hell, do we? We don't want to say, well, you're well-fed and you were well-dressed, but I never shared the good news with you. In fact, if that had been me and you fed me and you clothed me, but you never told me the good news, I'd be pretty cheesed off if I met my maker. My connection isn't stable at the moment. Okay, I'm going to pray more, Lord. Bear with me. Social action is really important, but simple gospel must be attached to it. You know, we do our toddler groups, but actually, where is simple gospel in that? And it is a challenge to all of the ministries. Coffee morning, it's great. We do social action, we do coffee stuff. Where is simple gospel in those things? Because we want to see souls saved. And I asked the question here, how many people have raised somebody from the dead? Do you remember when I asked this? Who's raised somebody from the dead? This morning? This week? This month? It's a good question, isn't it? Because you kind of go, well, I can't raise anybody from the dead, Darren. Well, actually, listen, if we've led somebody to faith, we've partnered with Christ in that soul that was once dead and heading to eternity without God to being raised back to life again. And we have raised people from the dead if we've had the privilege of leading somebody to Christ. But it's still God that does that bit. It's his power. And when we see people, we pray for people and then we see them healed, that's God's power at work. It's undeniable. So we really need all these three things. We want social action, we want simple gospel, but we also want that sovereign power to come in as well. And I think if you just take that for a moment, it's quite easy to remember. I don't think I put it on the sheet, unfortunately. Maybe I'll give it to you another time. But I just love this, and I keep this model in my head. I might be doing some really good things, but where am I sharing the gospel in this? Where I'm keeping it simple so someone can understand it. And where is God's power released? Where do I just step back and say, well, actually, God, if you don't show up, this won't happen. Where are we in that place? So, practicalities. We are meeting, and it feels like we're much smaller in number now. I think if we'd had all the children in here and helpers and everybody else, and then they left, it wouldn't have felt quite so empty in here this morning. But actually, one of the things we're going to do over the next 7 weeks is we're going to say, let's run this blast. It's out there. There's families turning up. Two little lads that came in a minute ago. I'm so pleased to see them. You know, their parents came up and, or grandparents came up and said, I don't know what happens to our little boys when they come here, but they come back completely different. And that was just through Make Lunch and through Blast, and they're back again. Now, if we were serious about reaching our community and we can create an environment where folk can come and they recognize there's something different just because they've come, not necessarily here to this church, but because God's here, I just think it's fabulous. So that's quite a full room out there. I haven't quite worked out how we're going to do tea and coffee afterwards yet. So we're heading in that direction. We'll work it out between us, because if they're not quite finished, we need to work that out. But it's a good problem to have, isn't it? I'd much rather have that problem than the fact that we go, well, there's nobody in the building. So we'll get there. You will get a cup of tea today, I promise. We'll sort it out. But isn't that wonderful that we've got something that's happening out there? And as adults and as teens as well, we're just going to be encouraged just to sit in the service here and listen to the word of God and see what he's got to say to us. So how are we going to prepare? Part of this is me introducing this morning. How are we going to prepare? What is mission? I thought they were speakers that were really quite good. And I used to see little lowered VWs saying on mission on the back of these VWs, thumping around with big music coming out and loud exhausts. That's what I thought on mission was. I thought it was something kind of cool. We're on a mission for God. If you Google it and actually look at what it says, you can see it up there, mission. Interestingly, there are other bits that Google gives a result, but the Google bits at the top, the second one was this. It said the vocational calling of a religious organization, especially a Christian one, to go out into the world and spread its faith. That's what one of the definitions of mission was. Well, I thought that's quite good. And I believe that's what God is calling us to do. Another definition speaks about a mission statement. And the mission statement is this. It's a formal summary of the aims and values of a company, organization, or individual. For those that have been part of setting charities up or doing those things, you generally have a mission statement. So what can our mission statement be for the next 3 months? Now, you can work on this with me. So I don't think I've actually written it down. I don't think it's on there either. No, it's not, because I thought if I put it in print, then you'll be able to tear me off with it. So this is where we're going to kind of go. So it's something like this. I think it's to personally distribute information to our community about Limbrick Woods, who we are and what we do, what we believe and why it is important, and through offering to pray for people, we will see the power of God at work with souls saved, people healed, and a community of disciples making disciples. That's an eye test for you up there, I understand that. We'll use the bigger screen. But to personally distribute information, I believe that's what God called us to do. I want you to go and give somebody something, to tell them about Limbrick Wood, who we are and what we do. Very practical. But what we believe, and why is it so important? Why is it important? And I think as well, part of what we're going to do when we talk about how we're going to maybe knock doors or how we speak to people, can I pray for you? I don't know how many times you've been bold enough to do that. I met somebody at a school and the lady had a bad arm and I just said, well, look, I believe God can heal things. So would you mind if I pray for you? And then we were chatting in the car park and she's like, well, thank you very much. You know, we were at this photography thing down in London and Nikki got talking to a lady and she explained what had been going on. And Nikki said, well, can I pray for you? And she's like, well, yes, thank you. You'd be really surprised. There are the odd person that turns around and goes, well, I'm not into all that rubbish. And you can then say, well, would you mind if I tried anyway? Well, you can if you like. You know, you'll be really surprised. And actually, we can offer to pray for people, but actually, not, can I pray for you? Great, I'm going to go away and do that. We might do that, but actually, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you now? That's a really powerful time because we're saying, God, in this moment, come. come in that power. I want to see your power at work, Lord. I can't do any of this, but if you come in your power right here, right now, someone might get saved, someone might get healed. And I guarantee that person, if they become a follower of Jesus Christ, is going to go and tell somebody else. And they're one of the best adverts, certainly a new convert. This, look what happened to me. A disciple that makes disciples. So I hope that's kind of our mission statement. If you want to come and help me write that better, if you don't like the word distribute, Nikki didn't like the word distribute, so you can come up with better words for me. I'd really like to get something. We know where we're heading with this. But what do we hope to achieve? Well, I've just mentioned most of it there in that mission statement. Part of this, I believe, is to help us as church to grow as well. Doing things that are beyond my capabilities. I never in a million years thought I would be a pastor of a church, certainly standing up talking in front of people. I've probably said it to you before, I'm the shyest person in the world, and you'll all go, oh no, you're not. I won't even get out of the car to go and buy a pint of milk. I'll send Nikki or my kids in to do it for me, because I'm terrified. That's who I am. And God says, no, but I want you to be a pastor and talk to people. And they say, I don't know how you do it. And I say, I don't know either. But God is wonderful, and I love him so much, and he's called me to something, and I'm going to be obedient in that. And I want you guys to experience that as well. I think part of this journey is that each and every one of us here has the opportunity to be taken out of our comfort zone in order to see God's kingdom come. Part of this is going to be, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, part of this is going to be as we serve together. And if you've ever been either a men's weekend away or a women's retreat or whatever it is, and you've done something together, friendships are bonded and they become much, much stronger. And maybe if there's a few trials that you go through together, you will become much, much stronger as a result of actually serving together. Obviously, our aims are we hope that people will be saved. And that's another reason, I think, for continuing to do BLAST, because actually, rather than saying to somebody, oh yeah, we might do this thing, we might put this in. We can say, actually, if your kids are looking for something to do, next Sunday at church, come and have a blast. What is it? Building? You've got it. There you go. Ray got it this morning. Ray was straight in there at the prayer meeting this morning. Building lives around sound truth. We're going to do that for the next 7 weeks. And it's great. It's got an open and an evangelistic feel in there. It's not threatening. And they have a fabulous time. It's not a stereotypical church service, but they're singing. It's far more tuneful than me, isn't it? It's not a stereotypical church service out there, but it's got sung worship, as you can hear. It does have fun and games. There is Bible stories. It's got Bible actually throughout it, all the way through. And it's got a life-changing theme. Actually, it's called Inside Out that we're doing. It's based on one of the movies that were around recently. What are the outside voices saying? What does the inside voice of God say? The outside voice might say, well, you've got to dress good and you've got to be sharp and you've got to be with it. And the inside voice of God says, no, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah, and it's challenging some of these things that maybe the outside voices or the world might say to us, and we can say, no, this is what the Word of God says. And that's what they're learning out there. And parents are staying as well, and they're hearing it, and it's fab. Come on. Come, Holy Spirit. Just descend in that room right now. I want people to catch this morning. It's not an add-on. We're not farming the kids off so we can go on mission here. I think this is something very exciting which is taking place next door. It's a 10-week program I've mentioned. We did 3 weeks over the summer. There's 7 left, and that's what they're going to do. If fruit comes from it, if it works out, we might need to rethink church again, how we actually do that in order to engage folk. You know, do we have the stereotypical church service, or is there another way or another thing that God is calling us to? We look for the fruit, don't we? Give me your feedback and your thoughts. Pray for the teams that are in there. We also want to be taking God's word seriously. I think I've said this before, if we do God's things in God's way, then we should expect God's power to come and show up. If you want to try and do things my way in my strength, it's not very powerful. So we want to do God's things God's way, and hopefully God's power is going to come. And this is where we're sort of heading with this morning. a number of churches, funnily enough, pray. I don't know if you've heard of this, but they pray and they hear real answers to prayer. And if you look at most revival stories, it will always start with prayer. Generally speaking, you'll hear there was one or two old ladies or there was this group of people and they prayed. And then, and I think, the question, I've put it up on here, do we all take prayer seriously and expect God to answer? And this is a real challenge to each and every person. I've been sat in the congregation as a young Christian when someone was talking about prayer and I'm thinking, yeah, that's all right. The people that pray, they can do the praying stuff. I don't need to do that. I don't need to take that part of it seriously. Yeah, I'll give God the high five or whatever it is. Or I might say my prayers religiously of an evening. But what is prayer really about? I think as we've been called on mission, God is calling all of us to mission. And he's calling all of us to pray. Every person that's here this morning, you're part of the body of Christ. And every part of a body is important if that body functions well. So this is the big invitation this morning. And that's to sign up for prayer and fasting. And prayer and fasting is going to be a 2-week. If you look on the back of your little sheets, if you haven't spied it already, you will see from, so second box in on the top left, it says in little italics underneath, fortnight fast start week one. And the idea is, I wanted to pray for the whole of September, but we didn't have a long enough run-up with the summer. So fortnight fast sounded pretty good. So I want us to pray for a fortnight. So 16th of December it will start. That's a Sunday through to the following Saturday. 23rd, the second week starts, which is a Sunday through to the Saturday. 30th of September is a Sunday. It's harvest. And I thought, well, why shouldn't we have a church lunch to break fast together? It will actually break lunch, but that's fine. Or lunch fast, whichever it is. Doesn't work, does it? No, leave that one alone. But we could join together at the end of this period of 2 weeks of fasting and being serious before God to say, we want to prepare well for mission. So I'm calling it a fortnight fast. Look at your overview sheets. There are some more details on there. I would like a couple of people who would like to say, I want to oversee this sheet. Now, ideally, we can pin some up at the back that we can actually write our names on. That's the only thing I didn't print, and I know where it is. I'll need to print that in a minute. I'd like, over those 14 days, maybe 3 or 4 of us committing to that. You know, I can't, what we got, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 18. Say there's 30, 40 people in the building here today that would probably commit to this. If 3 or 4 of us could fast every day, or one day a week, then actually that would give us a church which is fasting and praying before God and saying we are serious about the mission that you've called us to. Why is fasting so important? Let me unpick this a little bit first. We did a little bit of teaching on this in the previous series when we did Removing the Shadow of Sin. If you didn't catch all of that, I did make some DVDs up there, or CDs up there in the cases at the back. By all means, take those. I can always make some more up. But week 5, we were talking about prayer. And I'm going to give you a little recap of that if you missed it. But why is fasting so important? Most of us will know the Lord's Prayer here, I'm pretty sure. But if you carried on reading in Matthew 6, Jesus then continues to talk about fasting. If you've got your Bibles with you, look up Matthew 6:16. Jesus is speaking. Matthew 6:16. Now, Jesus doesn't say, if you fast, what does he say? When? Okay, when you fast. It's implying that fasting is something that we do. Now, some people I know do this. And for others, I'm just going to recap on some of the notes from that previous series, just to open it up again and maybe inspire you what fasting is all about and why it is important. I found an article before, and it said this online. It said, the first and foremost purpose of a biblical or spiritual fast is to get a breakthrough on a particular matter that one lifts up to the Lord in prayer. A spiritual fast involves a heart and a way in which we relate to and trust God. It relates to discerning and receiving strength to follow through on what God might reveal to us about circumstances in our lives or a direction we are to take. Maybe like going on mission together. So that's why I'm saying this is why we need to hear from God. And it's not just as a leadership team or an oversight or whatever you want to call it. It's not just about us saying, this is a good idea, guys. Let's see what happens. I really believe that if we're church and we're the body here, we can pray and we can fast and we can hear from God. So fasting and prayer are interlinked. We expect an answer from God and we're serious about wanting to hear from him. That's kind of what that was saying a minute ago. So what do? We position ourselves, so as I said a minute ago, that there's no way this thing could happen that God's called us to without God showing up. Okay, we're in a position whereby, Lord, if you don't turn up, this won't happen. In a sense, we're risking it all. Because God, we're laying this out there, if you turn up, this will happen. We can be in danger in church sometimes of packaging it all up really nicely and it works out really nicely. Thank you very much. Didn't we do well? Isn't God amazing? And actually God went, oh, you didn't need me. You did absolutely fine on your own. So where are we positioning ourselves that God needs to turn up? And maybe as we go back to that theme before, talking about God's power at work, if God's power is at work, a community is going to see God's power at work. They're not going to be looking at us. They're going to say, your God is amazing. Look what he did for me. Let's be clear on what a fast actually is, just to recap on this. Both the Hebrew and Greek translate it as the voluntary abstinence from food. The actual, if you see up on the screen, the literal translation of Hebrew is not to eat, and Greek is no food. And Jesus showed us what that looks like. It's not giving up chocolate. It's not giving up social media for a period of time. Some call these things a fast. Oh, for Lent I gave up social media. That's not what fasting is about. If you want to do what the Bible says and not something that looks like what the Bible says, a fast is about not consuming food. Does that make sense? It's really simple. A fast is about not eating. And actually, if you remember back in Genesis 2:17, you don't necessarily need to look it up. I'll put it up on the screen. God told Adam and Eve, you must not eat. I've underlined it from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. They weren't told not to touch it. They weren't told not to wear it. There is something about physically putting food into our body. And by abstaining from food, I believe scripture and history shows us that there is special breakthrough. Now, I don't want to misquote Isaiah 58:6, but Isaiah 58:6 says, is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen, which is to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is that what we're fasting about? Fasting adds something. It adds power, and power is released when we pray and we fast. If you've never fasted, I believe you've missed an opportunity to grow spiritually. And to be honest with you, if the Bible says something, it teaches something, I don't know about you, but I want to do it. I saw a video the other week with John Wimber talking. It was quite an old one. And he says, he went to a church and he says, and when do you do the stuff? And they said, the stuff? He said, yeah, the stuff I read about the fish and the healing. When are you going to do the stuff? The stuff that Jesus did. And they said, oh, no, we don't do the stuff here. And he said, well, why not? He said, well, when I work for the devil, he said, I did the devil's stuff. He said, now I'm working for Jesus. I want to do Jesus' stuff. When are you going to do it? And he was a young man saying, when are you going to do the stuff? And I get excited about that. I want to do the stuff as well. When are we going to do it? If you've never fasted, I think you've missed an opportunity to grow spiritually. I want to do the stuff. Do you want to do the stuff? Do you believe it still happens? Or is it something we just read about in the olden days? It's banished to the Old Testament. Oh, New Testament, Jesus did some too. But that was 2,000 years ago. What's the breakthrough that we want? If fasting gives us a breakthrough, what is the breakthrough that we want? Look in Mark 29, or I think I maybe put it up on the screen. There it is, Mark 29. Jesus said to them, bearing in mind this was the demon-possessed lad or the lad with the impure spirit, and the disciples saying, why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus says, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Something happens. There's some breakthrough when fasting takes place. So my invitation to us is, I hope you're excited about fasting now. Do you want to do it? So I want to do this fortnight fast. I want us to fast for a fortnight and fast for the mission. And therefore your question to me is, well, okay, if we're going to be fasting and praying, Darren, what are we going to pray for? What is the breakthrough that we want? And I would say to you, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? What's God been saying to us over this last year? It's up there. We've written it up. It's our motto verse. Isaiah 43:19. See, I'm doing a new thing. It's happening right now. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Don't you get it yet, Limbrick Wood Baptist Church? I am choosing you, and not just you, Limbrick Wood Baptist Church, everybody individually. I am choosing you, everyone, not to be mighty rivers. I'm not calling you out to be something huge. What is it? But we'll be making streams in the wilderness or tile hill. And our prayer has got to be, God, I can't do this unless you turn up. That's got to be a yes and amen, isn't it? God, I need you to turn up. I need you to show me. How is this going to happen? Because if it relies upon me, it's not going to be very good. And this is our fast. Lord, give us the strength, the boldness, the courage, the words to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Isaiah, again, quoting that. Wow. Fill us a fresh Holy Spirit. Yeah, come, Lord Jesus, that your will might be done, your kingdom come, done here in Tile Hill as it is in heaven. I mean, that's got to be our prayer, isn't it? And looking around this morning, we're not large in numbers. We're not some mega church. You might say, well, actually, we're not as equipped as we think we might be. If only we had this person or that person, this teaching, or I had this confidence. But I believe those doubts and fears are just fed to us by a father of lies who wants to distract us from our purpose. And purpose is a really key word. I'm going to be speaking about that quite a bit more next week. But if we move our focus from relying upon ourselves and what we can do in our strength, my strength, and we fix our eyes on Jesus and obedience to what God is saying, we can do all things through God who gives us this strength. To have that faith of Matthew 17, I've got this lovely picture of mountains. Look, if I had that faith of a mustard seed, truly I tell you, if I have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing is impossible for you. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Nothing is impossible. I want this to rise up. I want you to catch this morning. I hope you're getting excited about this. So I'm calling us to a fortnight fast. And that's to position ourselves in a place as church where as many of us as possible can commit to this fast. And just to be clear that you didn't mishear me, I'm not saying I want everybody to fast for 14 days. That's not what I'm saying. Maybe pick a day. You could pick one day out of the 14. Or you could say, actually, Monday, I'm going to do Monday each week, and I'm going to fast. And what does that look like? Well, enjoy your dinner the night before. But when you get up in the morning, you for breakfast, you're going to pray, and pray with the Bible there. Open it up and see what God has to say. The way God talks to us is through his word. He's written it down. So open it up and see what he wants to say to us. And for lunch, you can do a similar thing. Feed on God's word. Pray. Expect to hear from God. And we can give you some notes if you want some notes or anything to help you with that. And say, okay, Lord, help me. I'm replacing my food. And you do get hungry. It's not too bad breakfast. You're all right for breakfast. Lunchtime can be a bit more difficult. And when that hunger comes, you're saying, no, I don't need food to sustain me. God, you can sustain me through this. And I'm so committed to wanting to hear from you that you are the very thing that I need right now and not a sandwich. And feed on that. And then when evening time comes, we've said it already, and when the evening comes, I'll still be singing. You've sung it already this morning. I'll still be singing when the evening comes. And I'll sit there, and maybe that is a time. I love to play the piano or just tinkle around or get the guitar out and stuff. And actually, sometimes when I'm really hungry on a fast, and I'll sit there and I'll get my instrument out and I'll just praise God for a moment. And I'll tell you, in that moment of praising God, all the hunger goes. And then I can feed on his word again, and I can hear from him. Do you think you could do that? Because you go to bed and you enjoy your breakfast the next day. In fact, you probably get up the next day and you can go, I could probably skip breakfast today as well. Yeah, 2 days, 3 days starts to get a bit more difficult. But would you do that? And it's not just because we're saying, oh, we want to do it to put a tick in a box, because I want to hear from God. And it says on these sheets, record, what did God say to you? Was there a particular verse? And then we can encourage one another as a body here, as this congregation, to say, this is what I believe God is saying. And we can get excited about hearing from him. If we're serious about this mission, I think we've got to be prepared. If you've got any questions at all, then ask, fire away. What are the questions? Jot them down. Let's ask these things. No such thing as a daft question. Yeah, we want to ask it. Have we thought about this? How are we going to do that? They might be really good questions. You probably will be the answer to your question, is what I generally find. Darren, we really need somebody to do whatever. Great. God said that to you. He didn't say it to me. Maybe you should be doing it. But it's good. Raise those questions. If you've got any words or pictures that God gives you and they're for the church, then share them amongst each other. Our next church meeting is coming up, as I've mentioned it, and there's a slot at the end there for prophetic. What has God been saying to us as a church? Have there been any words or pictures or anything? And we've had a few. We've got quite a good little record of that. But maybe at the next church meeting, you come along and you go, won't believe what God has said. I was fasting and he gave me this picture of, and boom, come and share it, because that's going to be so exciting to hear from God. You know, he can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And I'm just really excited about that, because I've said before, I can imagine a lot. And if God can do more than that, it's going to be wonderful. So let's commit this to prayer now. Let's be intentional, and don't be embarrassed to say no. No is a fine answer. You know, there's lots of good things. We're going to talk about this next week. There's lots of good things that come along, but we've got to remain on purpose.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.